We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our church is located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway, and our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6 p.m., and Wednesday at 7. We would love for you to join us. Also, on February 21st at 6 p.m., Michael Combs will be there in concert. Please come out and worship with us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Brother Oscar McCamus.
In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art a land that is not cleansed." As we see, he's speaking to Israel. "Thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion raving the prey that has devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no differences between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves raving the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land has used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy, yet they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." I want to preach on that verse of scripture there in verse 30. He said that he wanted a man. Now, just simply, that is the text that I want to preach on this morning. The crying need here is for a man who will stand in the gap between a sinful world and the impending judgment of Almighty God. And so God desires to avoid exercising a just but a deserved punishment. In other words, Israel deserved punishment because of the wickedness and the sin, but he desired to, even though it was just and deserving, and he wanted to bring judgment upon this apostate Israel in which she found herself, yet he finds himself helpless without such a man. He said, "Unless I find a man to avert this, I'll have to bring judgment. There's no way," but God really didn't want to bring judgment. He wanted repentance rather than judgment. So that's the solemn assertion here in the word of this text, spoken by God himself through the mouth of his prophet Ezekiel. And so it is as though the eternal God himself has hung out his sign there in the window of heaven and said, "Wanted a man." Now, in layman's terms, that's simply something that we can relate to. That's simply the picture that God has hung a sign out in heaven and said, "Wanted a man." And just but the startling fact is that after he left this sign, he left it out for a considerable amount of time, and he had mourned the tragic fact that there had been no applicant for the job. no one that he could find to fill the job. And since he has found no one to fill this needed position, God announces that he can no longer withhold judgment. And so here we find this. Israel had fallen into a state of national apostasy. In other words, the conditions were very, very shocking in the nation of Israel. Sin and corruption was rampant and on every hand. And we see here that was threatening, devastating judgment. And so the need of the hour was for a man who could turn away the impending judgment. God was looking for a man that could turn away the impending judgment that he was going to bring upon the nation of Israel. And so condition in our world today, as we read that, I wonder how many of you thought, boy, that's describing America today. But conditions in our world today are likewise very grim and very appalling. In other words, as we think about that, surely in this day, God is still looking for a man. And I hope that's what that we'll think. There'll be the thought in our mind. God is still looking for a man. There's still a need for an intercessor praying. There's still a need for someone to stand in the gap. And so surely that God is still looking. And had we but the spiritual vision that the prophet Ezekiel had, I believe we too might be able this morning to behold in the windows of heaven God's sign that says wanted a man. I believe it's still there. I believe with all of my heart that no doubt that there's still a sign. So let's just look at some things here. I want you to see, first of all, the divine search in verse 30, the first part. It says, and I sought for a man among them. It's the word of God himself. Now that's God speaking himself there. And he said, and it is not a man looking for God, but it's God looking for a man. God is searching for the needed man to meet this crucial need right here of the hour. And the key to the world's need is a real man. Now I don't want to get into this. Don't want to make this out something I didn't intend for it to be. But I think that in America today, we need some real men. We need not only just in the world, but we need some real men in the church. We need some godly men. We need some men that's got some convictions. We need some men that's got some standards. We need some men that are not ashamed to stand for something, no matter it makes them unpopular or whatever. We need some men today that'll step up and say, I'm going to pray for the church. I'm going to make it a job for me that I'm going to pray for the church and pray for the people and pray for the need. And so we see here we need that. The ultimate answer to the crying need for a man will be found when God himself gets, when he brings his son, the man Jesus, back to this world. And that's going to happen one of these days. But the fundamental fact of human history is that God is looking for a man rather than man looking for God. Now, I want to say to you, when you got saved, you weren't looking for God. There's not a person in here when you got saved, you were looking for God. God was looking for you. You were looking for something to fill the void in your life, and you tried maybe a lot of things, but it sure wasn't God that you were looking for, but God was looking for you. And he knocked on your heart's door one day and told you that he could feel that need in your life if you'd only open the door of your heart and allow him to come in. And many of us sitting here this morning, we did that. And then God found us and not we found God. And so some theologians, motivated by the optimistic, unscriptural view of human nature, some of those people say they interpret human history as a record of man's progressiveness in discovering God. In other words, they say, and they painted a rosy picture of the nature of man, and they said that man has made a gradual rise higher and higher and on levels of intellect and levels of social and moral achievement, until at last, they say, some distinct future, man will eventually come into a full realization of his inherent dignity as a son of God. Now that's a beautiful saying. That's a rosy picture there that they have. But the only thing wrong with that is it's not true. That's not true. And so God is looking for a man. And so sinful man is not looking for God. If man was looking for God, then this house would be full this morning. Sinners would be here if they were looking for God. But we know that's not true. And that's why God commanded us to go out and knock on doors and compel man, sinful man, to come into the house of God. Because the sinner is not looking for God. And so here, as we look at this, he's not looking for God. He's rather trying to hide, or he's trying to get away from God. How many of you in here, I've heard testimony after testimony of people after they got saved said, I ran from God for a long time. I knew God was on my trail. I knew that God was knocking on my heart's door. I knew that God was speaking to my heart. And I just ran from him. I wouldn't yield. I wouldn't submit. I wouldn't say, yes, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. And so this has been true ever since that man fell into sin. And that's why that the Bible says that man became estranged from God. And so when Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, we would expect them to be running up and down through the garden crying out, oh God, where art thou? We have sinned and we have sinned against you. But we know that nothing of the kind happened. That wasn't what happened. We know what happened is, as fallen creatures, they did not seek God, but rather they sought to hide from God when he came to seek them. That God came after they sinned and said, where art thou, Adam? Where are you? Not the other way around, which it should have been. But God came looking for them. And I want you to know this morning, as God asked that question, you can put your name in the place of Adam. And God is saying, where art thou? God knows where you're at spiritually this morning. God knows whether you're saved or not. God knows whether your heart is cold and indifferent, or whether your life is carnal and those things. God knows exactly where you're at. I'm not just talking about the location of your body, but I'm talking about the condition of your heart this morning. And so here, the history of mankind is not a gradual ascent to God, but it's rather a winding path that leads deeper and deeper into the gloom of death and despair. And so as a spiritual creature, man naturally seeks to hide from a holy God. That's just natural. That a sinful creature, knowing that a holy God, and he just tried, it's just natural for that man to try to hide from God. And so in describing sinful man's history, the Apostle Paul records in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, did not like to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, rejecting. Man was rejecting the revelation of God. That they did have, the Bible said their men corrupted the knowledge of God and went farther and farther away from God. How about that? That's what the Apostle Paul said. That man corrupted the knowledge of God and just went farther and farther and farther away from God. And so whenever there's an individual seeking for God, it's because that God has begun the search. That it would never be that unless God began the search. It was the shepherd that sought for the lost sheep and not the lost sheep seeking for the shepherd. The Bible said when the shepherd saw that one of the sheep was missing, the 99 was safe in the fold and one was missing, that he left the 99. And he went searching for that one lost sheep that was lost out there on the mountainside of sin. And I want to say to you, they say that a sheep that has become lost cannot find its way back to the fold But it must be found by the shepherd. And we see that so much. God describes us as his children as sheep. And we see so many sheep that get out because of the allurement of the world and temptations and all those kind of things. They stray from the flock sometime and they get back out there on the wilderness and the mountain of sin. And they can't find their way back. Because I'm not trying to offend you, but one of the dumbest animals, it probably is the dumbest animal of all, is a sheep. I guess that's why God described us as sheep. And so the Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The sinful human must first be drawn by the Lord before he can come to God. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Let me say this as seriously as I know how to say this. If you're here and you're unsaved, you better take advantage of every time that you feel the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and drawing you. You better yield to that and come, because the Bible says that there may come a day when God says, okay, you don't want me, then I'll quit drawing you. And he turns you over to a reprobate mind, and then there's no hope for you. You say, is that right, preacher? Absolutely. Absolutely right. You better hear this preacher this morning. You better hear me. You better cherish that God's still dealing with your heart, and you better take advantage of that. Because there's no way in the world. That's why I worry so much about deathbed conversions. I wonder whether God was really calling them to be saved, or were they just scared they were going to die and go to hell, and so they made a profession. The Bible says no man can come to God except they be drawn by the Father. But in this passage before us, God is not looking for a sinner, but God here is looking for a saint. God here is looking for a man who he can use to carry out his saving purpose for the nation of Israel. He's looking for the saint who will voluntarily surrender himself to the call of God's service. Could I say that God is still looking today for a man or a woman? When we say man, we're speaking in the masculine term. We're not trying to be politically correct. We're just speaking in the masculine term, saying that he's talking to all of us. Are you willing? Voluntarily surrender yourself to the call of God's service. The second thing I want you to see is the divine purpose. God clearly states his purpose in searching for a man. He said, I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, before the land. God here sees an urgent need, and he's looking for the man whom he can use to fill that need. And this need right here is indicated under two figures of speech. And yet the need for a man is the same. The first figure of speech of him looking for a man, he says, is to make up the hedge. Now God had graciously placed a hedge of a wall or a wall around his people for their protection. I thank God for that, don't you?
Amen.
I thank God for that wall of protection that he has around us.
Yes.
And God has a wall of protection. And so he says here that he is looking for a man that has and he said to make up the hedge. Job 1:9, but if you'll remember, but the hedge which God had placed around his people was being broken down. And there was a very serious breach had been created. The breach in the wall had been caused by the prevailing corruption of the nation of Israel. Yet sin, now listen to me, sin always tears down. It always tears down. There's never, ever nothing good comes out of sin. It always tears down the protective wall around the people or around the nation. And so to allow the breach to God's hedge around Israel to remain unclosed was to invite the destruction of the nation. And so through that unclosed breach, catastrophe was about to strike a devastating judgment. God was looking for a man who would be able to close the breach. And what was that man going to do? What was God looking for that man to do? What could he do? What could one man do? Now, maybe that's what you're sitting there saying, what could I do? What could one person do? He was looking for a man to close that breach by leading the people to repentance and leading people to turn away from their evil ways. He said, I need a man that'll preach to them and tell them and get them to repent of their sins and to turn away from their evil ways and to turn back to me that I might be able to stay the judgment. And so serious breaches have likewise been made in the moral and the spiritual defenses of our nation today. As we behold the tide of crime and lawlessness in our land, we're to wonder how long that judgment can be stayed when we see what's going on. Oh man, horrible, horrible things that happened this week. Things that happened that we thought would never ever happen in the United States of America, where people are supposed to be civil. And look what's happening. And so we see in 1787, Edward Gibbon, he completed his material book, his masterful book entitled The Decline and the Fall of the Roman Empire. His massive study led him to conclude that there were five causes which led to the downfall of that once mighty Roman Empire. And these causes he identifies, let me read them to you. He says the first cause of the downfall of the mighty Roman Empire was the rapid increase of divorce, the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home, which is the basis of human society. The second thing he said was higher and higher taxes and the spending of public monies for free bread and circuses for the people. I was sitting in the barber shops, and I'm not trying to be political. I don't care who you vote for. You vote for whoever God wants you to vote for. But I was sitting in the barber shop, I believe it was Tuesday, Donald Trump come on announcing his candidacy for president. And I sat there and listened to him. And he's saying that the national debt of America right now is $17 trillion, headed very rapidly to $20 trillion. And he's saying that $24 trillion is the point of no return. $24 trillion in debtness, and once the country passes that, they're gone. It's too late. And he said, America is fastly headed in that direction. Spending. And like I said, I don't care who you vote for, but I jumped up and looked for a voting booth. Somebody in there got a little bit of sense of how to run this country. Now, don't take that political. Just take that as the downfall of the Roman Empire. What caused that? And then they said the mad craze. Now, listen to this one, the third one. The mad craze for pleasure. Sports becoming every year more exciting and more brutal. Is that not true? The fourth thing, the building of gigantic armament when the real enemy was within. The moral decline of the people. The fifth thing, the decay of religion, religious faith, fading into a mere formalism, losing touch with life and becoming powerless to guide the people. As we read Gibeon's reasons in the light of the prevailing conditions in our own land, we're compelled in all seriousness to ask ourselves, will history repeat itself? Who can read this diagnosis here of the causes of the Roman Empire to fall without deep concern for our own country today? Where are the men? Where are the men? God raises up some leaders. Leads up some leaders that's got some convictions and some wisdom on how to do this. Where are the men who will act to close the breaches before well-deserved judgment falls? Where are they? And then he said the second figure of speech. He said to stand in the gap before me for the land. Here the figure is altered somewhat, but there's the continued recognition of the dangerous breach which needs to be closed. But now the emphasis is upon the man needed to fill that gap. Now look at it. The man himself must stand in the gap if it is to be filled. Evil is pouring in upon the nation through that gap, God said. God said evil is coming in upon Israel and it must be filled by a man willing and able. What can he do? To intervene and to arrest the flood of sin and corruption. There must be a forsaking of the sins which are causing the gap. And a return to divine laws, God says, and godly practices, which has been forsaken. God said it must happen. Got to be a man to lead the nation back to doing this. There got to be somebody that are willing to intervene. And so the filling of a gap is essentially a spiritual task. It'll not be closed merely by appropriating legislation. That's good. I'm glad they got good legislation and all that kind of stuff, as good as that is, and doing all of these kind of things. But we also realize that it won't be closed by all of these schemes and all these programs. But listen, it has to be dealt with the problem of human sinfulness. That's the problem. It's the sinfulness, since it's a reality. A matter of sin flaunting itself in the face of a holy God. And that's what's going on. America's standing up and flaunting their sins in a holy God, in the face of a holy God, and saying to God, we don't care what you say. This is what we're going to do. Is that not what we're at? Is that not where that people that should be calling evil, evil, call it evil and good, good, ought to be calling it good? But no, we're looking for a man that'll do that. And God looked for a man who could stand before me in the breach to defend the land from ruin. As one version said, the solution to the situation does not lie simply in the human level. Now don't misunderstand me. But the task of standing in the gap to stop the onrushing evil is simply, and here it is, it's simply a matter of prayer and intercession.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church or the upcoming Michael Combs concert, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.